Rodney King and JFK, a whitewash, a hoodwink on the USA. Martin Luther King was murdered too. Another cover up would make a fool of you. Whitewash. Whitewash. You can't cover up what happened to Rodney King. And we know it's our eyes. We should have believed. JFK died for what we believe. November 22nd, 1963. Crossfire bullets while the cameras rolled, and the people heard the shots from the grassy knoll. Now the Warren Commission gave their lengthy report. A lone nut did it all, but he never got to court. But they couldn't cover up what we saw on TV. Now we know it's our eyes, we should have believed. They couldn't cover up what they did on TV. The JFK and Rodney King. You might be black, you might be poor white trash. They can't cover up what we saw on TV. We know it's our eyes, we should have believed. The verdict came in according to plan, with the money set aside for the protesting band. But the protests turned to riots in the maddening crowd, and for what happened next, no one can be proud. The president says the hippies are to blame. If you believe that, you've been whitewashed again. You can't cover up what we saw on TV. And we know it's our eyes, we should have believed. We know it's our eyes, we should have believed. We saw JFK and Rodney King. You might be black, you might be poor white trash. Yeah, but they can't cover up what we saw on TV. Now we know it's our eyes, we should have believed. And looting cost 700 mil, but it don't hold a candle to looting the SNLs. And you talk about the murder and the bodily harm, but they're still busy bragging about Desert Storm. And it happened in Grenada and Panama too. Ask the widows and the orphans about the whitewash they used. Well, you can't cover up what we saw on TV. Now we know it's our eyes, we should have believed. They can't cover up what we saw on TV. The JFK and Rodney King. You might be black, you might be poor white trash. They can't cover up what we saw on TV. Now we know it's our eyes, we should have believed. They can't cover up what we saw on TV. JFK and Rodney King. You might be black, you might be poor white trash. Whoa. They can't cover up what we saw on TV. Now we know it's our eyes, we should have believed. They can't cover up what we saw on TV. The JFK and Rodney King. Cover up what we saw on TV. The JFK and Rodney King. You might be black, you might be poor white trash. They can't cover up what we saw on TV. They can't cover up what happened to Rodney King.
Boy, oh boy, have I got myself in trouble. Let's see if I can get myself out. Please do not tape this program. I don't want any evidence remaining of this problem, but turn off the tape recorder. Hello, this is Paul Kangas on radio station KPOO, and this is Reality Sandwich, the continuing investigation, which we hope, by maintaining a public investigation of the CIA killing of John Kennedy, that it will somewhat provide some insurance to Clinton, both in allowing Clinton more flexibility and freedom and latitude, and shining the spotlight on the CIA in a way that causes the werewolves in the CIA to hide. All right. There's an issue in the new issue of The Nation magazine that I would like to highly recommend that people read. In fact, if you tape this program and then go read The Nation magazine, or maybe just listen to this program, you'll find some very interesting stuff. And the second part of the program is this. I frequently call for political music, music dealing with specific political questions. And, yes, a new song has been mailed to me by the infamous group Mr. X. And I promised that I would play it, although it has, what they've done is a very sophisticated type of musical arrangement. It's so sophisticated that it may not be very clear. The title of the song is It All Leads Back to Jack, and it has to do with Kennedy assassination and being caused by Kennedy's fight with the Federal Reserve. And it's a very amazing song. I guess only in San Francisco are you going to find political songwriters, musicians, able to compose and write songs and music for songs as complex as dealing with the Kennedy assassination. But fortunately, we live here in the crossroads of all world ideas in wonderful San Francisco. And we have a wonderful radio station like KPU where political ideas can be openly sung about. So with that, let me get to this Nation article, because it deals with what I've been talking about on this station for the last 2 years. That is, a need to put a 50% capital tax on the richest fortunes of the million richest households to pay off the national debt and balance the budget. And by the way, this article came to me from two people who are working on this very topic, also trying to resolve the national debt without paying it off, compromise it or something like that. Okay, here it goes. It's titled A Modest Proposal to Net the Rich. It's out of the May 31st Nation magazine, page something or another. Every time President Clinton puts forward a new program, the Republicans accuse him of increasing the deficit, and every time he suggests a new source of revenue, they call him tax happy. Herewith, a moderate proposal for a tax that could begin to balance the budget and eliminate the federal deficit and at the same time pay for social programs. This is called a net worth tax. It's a one-time tax, not on the income, but on an individual's total net worth. Now, basically, what the article talks about is you take and you only apply this tax to people that make $500,000 or more a year. And that, it turns out, there are 3 million Americans who make $500,000 or more a year. And they have a net worth of about $5 trillion. So if we take and tap them for 33%, we can, in one swell swoop, pay off the national debt overnight, and then we won't have to pay the interest on the debt. That's a very unique idea, and it deserves air. And he also very adequately deals with the question that the problems that would have to be solved before a net worth tax could be implemented. For one thing, the Constitution may have to be amended, which is not that hard, since Congress cannot levy a direct tax on individuals during their lifetime, except on the basis of their incomes or in proportion to the population. Also, some of the wealth of the people on the top is not liquid. For instance, Bill Gates, the chief executive officer of Microsoft, one of our favorite corporations, for example, has a net worth of $15 billion, mostly consisting of stock in his own company. There may not be a ready market for the $5 billion worth of stock that he would be forced to sell. According to the 1989 IRS figures, a large part of the wealth of the richest Americans is held in real estate. I don't suppose that's a big surprise to anybody with the real estate market the way it is, that most of the wealthy people made theirs through real estate scams, which can't be readily sold. Aha, but there is a solution. the government can take the 33% of their net worth in whatever form it's held and convert that property into government bonds. In other words, it would require the current holders of government bonds to exchange them for stock or the real estate taken in the net worth. In other words, you got these people holding the national debt, the government bonds, and they're collecting interest. We want those bonds back. We want to cancel those bonds. So what you do is you go to Bill Gates of Microsoft, and you take about $5 billion of his property, stock that is, and you give it to some king in Saudi Arabia or some businessman in Japan who's holding our government bonds, and you say, okay, here's some Bill Gates stock. We'll trade you $1 billion worth of Bill Gates stock for $1 billion worth of U.S. government bonds, and that cancels that $1 billion, and you just do that for the whole $4 trillion. You just tax the rich. Neat idea, huh? So let me give it to you quick again. A thumbnail sketch of this new idea. Write it down. A net worth tax. So get yourself a bumper sticker that says net worth tax. It would recapture some of the money that went to the rich, a kind of reverse refund, a reverse tax refund. How much would such a tax yield? Let's assume that we could exempt the first $500,000 of every individual's net worth on the grounds that we want to protect the middle class by preserving some basic core of its members' accumulated assets. Based on the 1989 figures, the total taxable fund would be $3 trillion. That is $5 trillion minus $2 trillion, which is what the 3 million individuals in the top wealth-holding class above $500,000 hold. So, a 33% tax, a net worth tax, on this sum would yield about $1 trillion, which would immediately reduce the national debt by one quarter. And this savings could be used to start a universal health care program and still leave billions for public works projects to stimulate the economy. Not bad. Okay, time for some music. And here comes this song. Let me look at the title again. It's called It All Goes Back to Jack. And I just want to remind you that this song deals with Kennedy's attempts to wipe out the national debt in 1963, his attempts to change the monetary system in this country and so wipe out the national debt. And you'll find references in the song to the book, the great book, which you really should read, Out of Debt, Out of Danger, by California Congressman Jerry Voorhees, which was written and John Kennedy read it. And it inspired Kennedy to change our monetary system. And unfortunately, it got Kennedy killed. Oh, by the way, if you are interested, there's a talk and a slideshow I'm going to be giving on this material at the Hilton Hotel on Tuesday at 6 to 10 p.m. That's Tuesday, 6 to 10 p.m. at the Hilton Hotel, RSVP. Tickets are required. Before you get the room number, you have to check with me. Call the office at 897-0153 if you want a ticket for the Tuesday slideshow and lecture at the Hilton Hotel on the role of the CIA in the killing of John Kennedy. And we'll just get together a bunch of like-minded folks and talk it up and have fun. The phone number at the office is 897-0153 for tickets to the conference on the Kennedy assassination, Tuesday, 6 p.m. By the way, happy birthday to John Kennedy. His birthday was May 29th, and forgot to mention on the last program, but happy birthday. I guess he'd be about 76 now. So here comes the song.
It all goes back to Jack. It all goes back to Jack. They shot him in the back. They covered up the tracks. And now we pay the tax. It all goes back to Jack.
People have got to know whether or not their president's a crook. Well, I'm not a crook. It's because people have got to know whether or not their president's a crook.
Who will Tricky Dick really working for? He kicked Charlie Chaplin out of this country. on a false rumor. Was it cause they had no sense of humor? It all goes back to Jack. They shot him in the back and covered up the tracks. And now we pay the tax. They issued the funny money. Now life's just been hard knocks. The whole game's floating on plastic since they looted the gold from Fortinox. It all goes back to Jack. They shot him in the back and covered up the tracks. And now we pay the tax. He wanted to do away with the Fed. Instead he ended up dead. That's right. He wants to dismantle the Fed. Instead he ended up dead. All bets down, dollar for dollar. That tricky dick was working for Nelson Rockefeller. You've all heard the expression, don't rock the boat. How did Nelson get to be vice president? Without one vote. Forget Lee Oswald, the patsy. Forget about the mob. You couldn't kill the president. Except with an inside job.
You can only be interested in.
It all goes back to Jack. They shot him in the back and covered up the tracks. And now we pay the tax. They issued the funny money. Now life's been just hard knocks. The whole game's floating on plastic since they looted the gold from Fortinox.
You can only be
1943. Congressman Voorhees tried to spill the beans about the Fed.
Dick, you can't be.
You'll have to replace him.
You can only be interested.
Old man Prescott Bush said. And 50 years later, Prescott's grandson's raising hell, ripping off $100 million from the local SNL. Does it seem like a mystery when the big boys rewrite history? Does it seem like a mystery when the big boys rewrite history? It all goes back to Jack. They shot him in the back. And they covered up the tracks. And now we pay the tax. They issued the funny money. Forget Lee Oswald, the patsy. Forget about the mob. You couldn't kill the president. Step with it inside, y'all. It all goes back to Jack. They shot him in the back. They covered up the tracks. And now we pay the tax. They issued a funny money. Now life's just been hard knocks. The whole game floating on plastic. Since they looted the gold from Fortinox, it all goes back to Jack. They shot him in the back, they covered up the tracks. And now we paid the tax in 1943. Congressman Voorhees wrote a book called Out of Debt, Out of Danger, saying that the feds were all a crook.
Dick,
you'll have to replace him. Old man Prescott Bush said to Tricky Dick. And then 50 years later, Prescott's grandson's raising hell, ripping off $100 million from your local SNL. And yes, you, the taxpayers of this country, we've got to pay for that.
You and the press, you can't be interested in that. You can only be interested in
Who shot John? Well, go ahead.
Okay, there you have it. It all comes back to Jack. It's a bit long, and it's got too many different sources of sound in it, but it's a good attempt, and I would recommend any musical groups that want to produce other songs for the program, you know, try and limit them to 3 minutes, I guess. 5 minute songs, not unreasonable when dealing with a political topic, but it's easier to deal with a program if it's about 3 minutes long. Thank you. All right, now the continuing saga of George Bush's trip to Kuwait. Did you see the latest headlines that came out? Little tiny story on Friday. Whoops, folks, we're sorry. The whole thing was a hoax. Now, did I report on day one on this program that the whole thing was a hoax? Yes. It sounded like a hoax to me in the beginning. It read like a hoax. There was no indication that anything in that story was real. Yet there are still 16 people on trial for the attempted assassination joke of George Bush. Paranoid George Bush is going to see assassins everywhere now. And it's just like during the election. He was so paranoid. He was constantly worried that somebody would get back at him for what he's been doing for 30 years. Well, you know, those who live by assassination sleep by assassination, and there's just no way he's going to be able to get around the problem. Okay, now something real else has broken. I may have mentioned this before, but it's become an issue again. Even CNN now is been discussing this interesting document that was found by the San Francisco Examiner in 1988. This was published August 25th, 1988. Here's the story right out of the San Francisco Examiner. This story appeared once in the San Francisco Examiner and never during the 88 elections and never resurfaced anywhere until yours truly, Paul Kangas, the host on this program, rediscovered it and then broadcast it, and it became an issue in other media around the country, including Life magazine. Here's how the story went. Washington, a man who identified himself as George Herbert Walker Bush, phoned FBI offices in Houston a few hours after the assassination of President John Kennedy in Dallas to report that a right-wing young Republican had been talking of killing the president. FBI documents show at the time of the 1963 assassination, Vice President Bush, whose full name is George Herbert Walker Bush, was an oil man living in Houston and a leader in the growing Republican Party in Texas. The party was split in those days by a bitter struggle for control between moderates such as Bush and extreme conservatives. Bush's press office in Washington at first said the vice president hadn't made the call and challenged the authenticity of the FBI report. Ho, ho, ho. Then, several days later, an aide said Bush does, quote, not recall making the call, end quote. The key FBI document obtained in a Freedom of Information Act is dated November 23, 1963, and says that on the day before, George Herbert Walker Bush had telephonically advised the Houston FBI office from Dallas, Texas, that a right-wing member of the Texas Young Republicans had been talking of killing the president when he comes to Houston. Now, why would George Bush say this after John Kennedy was dead? You know, why? I guess unless he was trying to help. But let me continue. The document identified the young Republican as James Milton Parrott, whom the FBI questioned shortly after getting the call. Houston sources said Parrott, who couldn't be reached for comment, was connected with the John Birch Society and right-wing Texas groups. Hey, what's a right-wing Texas group? Attila the Hun is a left-winger in Texas. Anyhow, he was fighting with Bush and other moderates for control of the state Republican Party. The FBI reports gave the address of the man who called and named Parrott as 5525 Breyer, Houston, Texas. According to the who's who of that period, That was then the vice president's home. So in other words, the reporter verified the address given in the FBI report. I mean, good grief, the FBI report has the middle initials of the guy and the home address, and yet Bush denies it. I wonder why he would deny participating in a heroic effort to identify the actual assassins of John Kennedy. Okay, I continue with this article out of the San Francisco Examiner dated August 25, 1988. When questioned by FBI agents William J. Schmidt and Kenneth Jackson on November 22, 1963 at his mother's home, Parrott denied knowing anything about the assassination or even threatening Kennedy. He also produced an alibi. He said he was a member of the Young Republicans and had been active in picketing officials of the Kennedy administration who appeared in Houston. He said he had been one of the demonstrators at Rice Hotel when the Secretary of State Dean Rusk had been in Houston earlier. Okay, now that's the story out of the Examiner. It was a special to the Examiner written by Miguel Acoca. Don't know Miguel, but if Miguel is out there, I'd like to hear from him. The office phone number is 897-0153. Now, if people would like to see this documentation, this will be on display. This will be one of the FBI exhibits on display at the special JFK conference at the San Francisco Hilton Hotel, Tuesday, 6 to 10 p.m. And if you would like to see some of these actual documents, photographs, transcripts of tape recordings, secret tape recordings, and all the other evidence that we have concerning George Bush's role in the assassination of John Kennedy, and we've got a pile of evidence, we've got enough evidence that in a normal court of law, you could have George Bush arrested, handcuffed, and thrown in jail and put on trial for the assassination of John Kennedy. But because he's an ex-president, some people seem to think that excuses him for all prior crimes. Hey, nobody gave him a pardon. Anyhow, we're having this special JFK conference, the 30th anniversary of the Kennedy assassination, at the Hilton Hotel, Tuesday, at 6 p.m. to 10 p.m. And if you would like tickets, please call our office, 897-0153. A lot of important evidence will be shown. Some of it, much of it, as a matter of fact, has never been published other than obscure places like I mentioned the one story in the Examiner, and then disappears. And nobody's ever put it together before other than your host, Paul Kangas. I'm the first person to actually gather together all the evidence on Bush's role in the Kennedy assassination into one file, one presentation, one slideshow, one seminar. And that seminar is Tuesday, 6 to 10 p.m. at the Hilton Hotel. Seating is very limited, so if you want a ticket, you're going to have to hurry. 897-0153. Our phone number is 897-0153. Now, the question keeps coming up. If George Bush wasn't involved in all these different things that we now have, two FBI documents, we have photographs, we have tape recordings, we have all kinds of evidence indicating Bush was directly involved in the Kennedy assassination. And if these things exist, why is there no prosecution of George Bush for the CIA assassination of John Kennedy? Now, of course, it wasn't only Bush. I mean, we know the actual trigger people were E. Howard Hunt and Frank Sturgis. And I'll tell you something. I can't say this, these things on the radio, unless it's true. Of course, radio station KPU is not liable. But I could be liable. It's called criminal liable for saying these things. But unless they're true. See, truth is a defense. So, we have to get these facts before the public. We have to get George Bush in handcuffs. We have to have a trial for George Bush for his role in the assassination of President Kennedy. Now, we believe President Clinton is probably going to release the files, the Watergate tapes, the secret 4,000 hours of Watergate tapes. Did you ever ask yourself, why? Why are the Watergate tapes still being kept secret? Guess what? Because there are discussions on there between Richard Nixon, Haldeman, Ehrlichman, Mitchell, George Bush, Dean, all these conspirators and co-conspirators involved in the assassination of John Kennedy, E. Howard Hunt. All right, enough for now. Now it's time for some music. And this is a short section of the Prosecute Bush speech from Austin, Texas.
February 20th, 1981. Subverting the election process goes beyond fraud and into treason. And of course he knew about the drugs deals and the arms deal of Noriega. He's been a key player in the drugs and arms racket since his days as head of the CIA. That's 1976. And it continued through the Reagan regime, and it continues still. Hey, Bush and Noriega are in the same gang, folks. This is the gang who brought us crack. And Bush is the one who wants the death penalty for drug felons. Keep going. Yeah. Well, I'm not for the death penalty, but I definitely want them prosecuted and convicted of high crimes and to serve hard time for a long, long time. A Congress with any backbone could get rid of the whole organization. Yeah, now is the time for statesmanship. Step forward and take your stand in history, men and women of the United States. You have the power. Use it. Like the dude ain't wearing any clothes.